I'll never forget the first time I stole something from the shop. When my friend said, go on, Craig, go on, go on. I don't know how old I was, but I thought I was going to die. My hands were sweating. I was shaking. I went into the shop and the friend says, go on, go on, go on, do it, Craig, go on. And I went in there and I just looking around for something to grab and run out of that store. I'm telling you, your friends sometimes are the worst people on the planet for you. But your friends probably try to push you to do things like maybe to watch stuff on your iPhone or your smartphone, and it's a shame on you if you're under 20 and you got an iPhone. Because there's wicked stuff on that thing. And your friend's introducing you to some pictures and some videos and some MTVs and some YouTubes. You got nothing to be looking at. And your friends come along and say, hey, let's watch this. Yeah, you laugh for a few minutes and your heart aches because you feel so dirty. Your friends try to push you to get to convince you to do some of these wicked things. But this week is all about persuading us to do some extraordinary things. And again, as I prayed there, I don't want you to be almost persuaded, but completely and fanatically persuaded. When I grew up in a home where my dad loved American football. How many of you know what American football is? All right? It's just a bunch of guys shaped like refrigerators running at each other and hitting each other. But in American football, my dad would take us to the local games where the football team, I was and am still a Dallas Cowboy fan. Yeah! All right. Anyway, I am a Dallas Cowboy diehard fan. I am also a Texas Aggies fan. You have no idea who they are. But they were a college team, and every Saturday when the games were on, if they were in town, my dad would take us, and he bought the tickets for seasons. He bought them for millennia. We had to go and sit there while the team would... I was 6 years old, and I was wondering, what are they doing, Daddy? Why do they run back and forth? Anyway, we had to go there every weekend. If we couldn't watch it, if we couldn't be there for the game, we had to watch it on television. And my dad would dress up because the colors of the Texas Aggies were maroon and white. So my dad was from the top of his head to the tip of his toes dressed in maroon and white. And we had to sit there and when somebody would run across the goal line with a football in his hand, my dad would say, shout, yeah, amen. They didn't say amen. He'd go, they just got a score. And we just kind of go, yeah, yeah. You know, as I got older, I loved football. I was a fanatic for football. You know what my dad did? He persuaded me. It was a great game. He persuaded me that it was all right to go crazy when your team got a score. He fully persuaded me to be a fanatic. Now, thankfully, I'm delivered from that. Amen now. Because I've been fully persuaded of some other things now. And I want you to be as well. Go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, because one of the saddest stories in the Bible is in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Paul is standing before a king, and you may know the story, and he's standing before a very powerful person. He's surrounded in a courtyard of hundreds, if dozens, if not hundreds of onlookers and people that were very wealthy and very powerful. And they all were looking down into a small pit, which a prisoner was brought out to in chains. He was in clothes that he had probably worn, the same clothes like you guys, for the last month. I don't want to find out who of you have not had a shower yet. But Paul had not had a bath in weeks, if not months. He is standing there in ragged clothes. Some of you girls have clothes that you buy that are torn at the knees, torn at the waist, and make you look like trash, and you pay good money for it. And there was Paul. That's the only clothes he had because they had so worn out on him. He's standing there in front of the king in some of the most deliciously wonderful, fashionable clothes you could ever imagine. As the king sat down there and Paul brought as a prisoner before him in chains, with soldiers on each side, swords at their side. Paul says, look in Acts chapter 22, I'm sorry, 26 and verse 22, listen to him as he says these words. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses said should come. He says, you know what? Ever since I'm going to talk about this in just a minute, ever since I got saved, I got to live the greatest life ever. I get to live the greatest life ever. He says, look at chapter 26 and verse 1 now. He says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and he answered for himself and he said, I think I'm happy today. Remember, he may not have eaten for the last week. He hasn't had a bath in the last month. He has been kept in prison. He has been falsely accused. He has everything outwardly is against him. And he says, I'm glad to be here today. This guy is crazy because he's a fanatic. He's also, he's persuaded that he's right where he should be. He's not saying, this is unfair. You know what he says? I think I'm right where I should be today. Getting to talk to a great king. Getting to be listened to by all these special, very important people. He's right in the middle of God's will, and he's convinced that no matter what it costs him, the sacrifice will be worth it. And listen to chapter 26, go down to verse 28. Chapter 26, go down to verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, what's the next word?
Almost
thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, no, 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 king. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. I wish you were just like me. And then he looked at his chains and he said, accept these chains. What a crazy thing. Paul was so delighted to be serving the Lord who saved him. That even though he was in chains, even though he was, I think he was physically miserable. I don't think he woke up and went, good morning. I think he woke up, ow, that rock under my back last night really got in there and it hurt. I think he hurt. I think he ached. I think he hungered. He was sore. I think he was sick a lot. And when he said, it's worth it. Because Paul was firmly and fully convinced. Good night. Paul was firmly and fully convinced. The devil's in electronics, so just believe it. Firmly convinced that everybody ought to be just like him. Does that blow you away? Look at that verse again. He says, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether, we'd say completely, such as I am, except these bonds. Now, Paul was so convinced, so persuaded about these five things, he says, I wish everybody had them. I wish everybody was just like me in these five areas. And I want you to see the first area that he was convinced of is that everybody needed to be saved. Go back to chapter, verse 10 there. And he starts off, he says these. Look in verse 9. 26:9, he says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I loved mocking him. Which thing also I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and I compelled them to blaspheme. Yeah, did you ever have an older brother like mine, who would always, you'd get into an argument or whatever, and my older brother would take me down and he'd put my arm behind my back and he'd say uncle. I don't know why I had to say uncle, but I finally said uncle. But that's what Saul did to people. He would hurt them until they finally blasphemed the name of Jesus. Compelled them to blaspheme. Verse 11, I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even under strange city. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hurting you, isn't it, Saul? And I said, Who art thou? Lord, is that really you? And he said, Yep, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which shall appear unto thee. Listen. Paul, sitting there giving his testimony, he said, I wish you'd been there, King. I wish you were saved just like me. I can take you to the spot. I can take you right to the mile marker on the road. I can point to the place where I was on the ground and looking up into that bright sky, and I heard Jesus speak right to me. So, King Agrippa, I wish you'd been there. I wish you knew what it felt like to know that the person that you so hated and the person you so wanted to mock and to get rid of and to ruin the memory of, thinking that he was dead, and there he was talking to me, and he was very much alive, and he wasn't mad. Jesus wanted me when I never wanted him. Jesus loved me when I never loved him. Jesus was willing to forgive me. All that he did on the cross was for a sinner such as me. Paul's looking up at Agrippa and says, I wish you were just like me. I wish you got saved just like me. And I still have that feeling. I listen to people give their testimonies. And amen. I'm excited when somebody says, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the day that I knew that I was lost, and I maybe I prayed and maybe I cried out to the Lord or whatever. But I want to just shake and says, was it good? Do you remember when you got saved? Wasn't it awesome? Because it was for me. Paul is describing the greatest day of his life. And Paul's looking there with those chains in his hands, and he says, on his arms, and he said to King Agrippa, I wish you were just like me. I wish you were saved just like me. I see a lot of Christian young people, they come to church, at least they call themselves Christians, and I wonder, are they really saved? Because when I got saved, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to live at church. I mean, I found out that there was Sunday morning, then there was Sunday night, so I started going to Sunday night, then there was Wednesday night service, and I started going to Wednesday night. Then I found out there was soul winning on Thursday night, so I went out there for Thursday night, and then on Saturday there was bus visitation, so I went there on Saturday, and one day I went up after church, so on Sunday morning, I went up to the pastor, his wife was standing next to him, and I said, can I live with you? His wife said, no! I love church. Still do. Because I got saved. And I wish you had gotten saved just like I did. Now, and you can get saved. Listen, the Lord saves us all. Amen. Just by humbling ourselves, getting saved. But was it good? Wasn't it an awesome day? Wasn't it a great day? Paul didn't look up to King and says, oh, I hope you prayed a prayer. No. I hope you get to heaven. No, he says, I was there when Jesus saved me. And I hope you get saved the same way. Secondly, I wish everyone in this room was called. You see, here's Paul. He's looking at this career politician. Agrippa had a career. He was a king. I mean, what greater power could you have besides being an emperor, maybe? But Paul looked up at that King Agrippa and he says, I wish you had a purpose like I do. I mean, I'm in control here now because I'm doing God's will. And he looked up there, look in verse 16. Jesus is still speaking to Paul and he says, rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. I want to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, Paul. I want you to go and open people's eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not a disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Paul said, you know, I used to be a killer. I used to be a persecutor. I used to be a bully. I used to do all this stuff. Then I got a new job. Amen? I got a new job. Now, it's just, I believe it's the greatest job in the world. To do what we get to do. I get to, if I had my druthers, if my wife would let me, I'd have Bible club every week. I'd have youth camp every month. I think I would die, but I love, because it wears you out, but I love it. I get to preach. I got to preach. I started two churches. One's still going. The other one's still going as well. But I used to Sunday morning preach, and then I'd quickly eat, get in the car. Sharon, Ruth, Joel, they'd pop in the car with me. We'd go up to Mallow, and I'd preach in the afternoon. Finish preaching there, back in the car, back down to Blarney, and I'd preach that evening. Why would you do that, Pastor? Because I just love it. God gave me a job to do. So I love it. And I wish you had the same kind of job like I do. I'm no fool. I would never come along and say, I hope you never have to be a preacher. I think it's the greatest job ever. I really do. As Brother Dan preached, it'll probably be the hardest thing you ever do. You might suffer doing it. You might go a little crazy. Yeah. It is. I wish, and I'm just like Paul, I wish every one of you had the same calling as I do. I really do. There is no reason at all why every person in this room couldn't be a missionary. Couldn't go somewhere in this world and have a Bible club and have a youth camp and have church and have Sunday school. There's no reason why any one of you couldn't do it. And my wish, just like Paul says, I wish you had calling like I do. Because Paul, looking at a king, says, you haven't got the best calling, buddy. I get to do something better than you'll ever dream. He says, certainly I wish everyone in this room was surrendered to do the calling. I think God could be talking to somebody in this room, probably several of you, and saying, hey you, I need you. Just you. Listen to Paul, and he says these words. Look at the next one, verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not, what's the next word? I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but I showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. You know what Paul says? I had a calling from God, and I didn't disobey it. You know, your pastor, how many go to church on Sunday? How many go to church and you pay attention to the preaching on Sunday? Now, here's a real question. How many of you, as you pay attention to the preaching on Sunday, go, nah, I don't want to obey? You got your hands up? No, don't put it down. Put it down quick. You see, your pastor spends 8, 10, 12 hours trying to prepare a message for Sunday morning. He pours out his heart and he says, this is what we need to do. And you know what a lot of Christians do? Nah. I wish you were so surrendered that when your pastor says, we need to go out soul winning on Saturday, that the whole church shows up and goes soul winning on Saturday. Amen? Wouldn't it be so wonderful if we were not just called? Because we all have a calling, don't we? And that we were surrendered to do that calling. Paul says, I wish you... See, Mr. Politician up there, Mr. King, he has to worry about everybody's feelings. He has to worry about everybody's happiness. He has to make sure everybody keeps him in office and doesn't poison him. He's a politician. He worries about everybody trying to be his friend and he be their friends. That's what politicians do. But Paul says, no. I want to do what God called me to do. And I'm so surrendered to it, it doesn't matter to me what it costs me. Doesn't matter if everybody hates me. I am not going to be disobedient to it. I sometimes wonder if the Lord called me. Now, I have always had a burden for a country over here called Burma. It's now called Myanmar. And I sometimes wonder if God now said, okay, you're through in Ireland. Now, he hadn't said that yet. But if he ever said that to me, would I still go? And I say, oh, yeah, I'll go. But in my heart of hearts, I go, am I surrendered to go anywhere still? Shouldn't I be? Yeah. Well, if I'm supposed to be, guess what? So are you. I wish you were surrendered. Paul was surrendered when God said, Paul, you're going to preach in Rome. You know what Paul said? Woo! You know what people, you know what Christians, what happened to Christians in Rome? They were killed. And he said, I'll go. He was surrendered. Then he yearned that everyone in the room there was safe, as safe as he was. Wait a minute. Paul, how can you be safe? You're in chains. You have been beaten. You have been starving. You have had everything go wrong in your life. How can you be so safe? Watch this. Let me get my verse. Verse 21. For these cause, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about. What were they trying to do? They tried to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Hey, that's pretty cool. He was stronger than Superman. Because people tried to kill him and God helped him. He says, I continue unto this day knowing that there are people who'd like to kill me. Knowing that people were waiting on the road to try to ambush and try to kill me. He said, I just keep going. Because as long as God can use me, as long as I'm available to God, I know I'm safe. I know that until God is finished with me, He'll keep me alive and He'll keep me going. The safest place to be is serving Jesus. Even in the scariest places, like Nakhnihini. No. Some of you know where that is. Anyway, where is that? Anyway. Whew. He says, I just keep going. Know that until Jesus says, that's all I need you for, Paul. He said, I'll be kept alive. People try to kill me and I'll be okay. Amen? Amen. I think it's awesome. And lastly, I wish everyone in this room was persistent. Now, this is wild. Look at verse 24. Paul's preaching his heart out. He's doing the exact opposite of what anybody else. If you or I were standing there, we'd go, King, you got to understand, I didn't do anything that they're accusing me of. I'm not that bad of a person. I'm not a criminal. They've got me in chains. They haven't let me out of bath. I haven't had anything to eat for a week. King, this is not fair. That's what we would say. But you know what Paul's been doing? Telling Agrippa how to get saved. Why would you waste your time when you should be getting out of the chains? Why would you waste your time trying to get him saved? Because Paul was so convinced his soul was more important than Paul's life. And he says these amazing words. Let me get to the verse. Verse 24. As he thus spake for himself, as Paul was preaching, Festus, one of the guys along the side, said with a loud voice, Paul. Thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You're crazy, Paul. Listen, if somebody called me crazy, I go, you're more. But listen to Paul. Verse 25. Listen to the gentleman response that Paul had. Verse 25. But he said, I am not mad. What does he call Festus? Most noble Festus. You know, even if somebody made fun of you, you can be a gentleman back, can't you? Wow. He says, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things. He knows about Jesus. He knows my life story, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa! Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Now wait a minute. What did Festus just try to do? The pressure was on. That room was silent. Listening to this old preacher standing there with his finger pointing right at King Agrippa and telling him he needs to get saved just like Paul was. He needs to live like Paul. He needs to love God like Paul. He needs to serve God like Paul. Paul says, I wish you were just like me. And Agrippa's there. This is so unusual. And Festus says, I gotta say something. And Festus says, I'll divert his attention. So Paul turns to Festus and says, I am not crazy. And then he goes right back to Agrippa and he says, you believe these things, don't you? I know you believe. You know what Paul was? Persistent. When something tries to get your attention, guys, like a girl. When something tries to get your attention, like your friends. When something tries to take you away from serving God, you need to be persistent like Paul was. If you ever say, dear Lord, you have my life. I'll be a missionary. I'll be a missionary's wife. I'll be a Sunday school teacher. I'll go out and I'll get kids to come into Sunday school and into church. I'll help out in Bible clubs. Guess what the devil's going to do? Yoo-hoo! I'm over here! Something's going to try to get your attention off of doing what you commit to God. And if there's one thing that Paul was, it was persistent. He didn't stop. You know what? I've been saved 36 years. 6 weeks after I got saved, God called me to be a missionary. Are you listening? I bought me a map. The world, and I put it on my wall, and I prayed, God, where would you send me? And God showed me, 2 weeks after I got that map, I'm praying through it, God showed me, I want you to go to Ireland. 36 years ago, God called me to Ireland. Guess where I is? 36 years later. What do I want to be? I want to finish what God called me to do. I want to be persistent. Has it been easy? Not at all. But you know what? Like Paul, standing before Agrippa, I'm convinced that I get to live the greatest life. I get to do the greatest things. Not everybody thinks that it's great. I mean, our songs aren't, like I said, aren't going to be played on the radio. We're not going to have 4,000 people here gathered going, oh, it's Greg. Oh, Greg, do you see me? Oh, I just love Greg. Oh, he's so wonderful. That'll never happen. But I'm so convinced that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing that I wish you were as convinced. Are you with me? Paul looking at Agrippa. Listen to how Agrippa responds. Listen to how Agrippa responds. There in verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul. Look at him. Read it with me. Verse 28. Say it out loud. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a what? Okay, did you see this? He didn't say, you almost got me to be saved. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, you almost got me to be baptized. Oh, you almost got me to join. No, he says, you want me to be just like you, don't you? You almost got me to become what a Christian is. Saved. Called by God to do something for Him. Surrender to that call. If you ever do God's will, you'll be the safest and happiest on the planet. And a Christian is persistent. Doesn't back down. Is not afraid of any pressure. And there's Agrippa saying, you almost got me. How do you think Paul reacted? I think he went into overdrive. And he says, no, King. No, don't be almost, because almost is still lost. Agrippa almost got it. He almost became a fanatic. Can you imagine if Agrippa, sitting on that big throne, said, Paul, I think you're right. And he'd take off that robe, and he'd hand it to one of his courtiers, and he'd say, I'm coming down there with you, Paul. I'm joining you in prison. Would that have been a blow-away moment?
Yes.
Wow! It almost happened. You know, it's a shame. Some of you are almost ready to step out and do something great for God. You're almost ready to say, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. You know, that word almost was not a happy. You know, when somebody throws a basketball and it almost goes in, you see everybody go, oh! Oh, well, try again. Paul knew there would be no second chance. That almost. Agrippa got up and walked away and he went to hell. That's a bad word, isn't it? Don't ever use the word almost. Decide, I am altogether. I am a fanatic. I am convinced that that Bible is true. I'm convinced that hell is eternal. I'm convinced that this world needs Christians to get in the way and stop people from going to hell so quickly. Amen. I'm convinced of it. Don't be almost. Be altogether as Paul. I hope you never have to go to jail. I hope you don't have to ever have chains. But you ought to be just like Paul in every other way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Stand with me for a second, please. Folks, there is nothing better than being a sold out, born again, sin-hating, blood-bought, Bible-believing, soul-winning Christian. Serving God. Just like Paul did. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I think it's breathtaking. I look at Paul and I go, God, I want to do that too. If you do want to do that, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you do want to say, Lord, I don't know that I want to be a missionary. I don't know if I want to be a pastor. I don't know what I want to do, but I want to know what you want me to do. I don't want to be almost. I want to be real. If you're not born again this morning, this evening, if this has just been a week where you're like, no, I don't want to hear that again. No, I don't want to hear about that. I tell you, don't be almost, because you'll join Agrippa in hell. And hell is eternal. But just as bad as that almost is the almost of, you almost got me, preacher, pastor, you almost got me to at least be willing to be a missionary. You almost convinced me that it was a good life. But I'm scared. Yeah, amen. Amen. So what? You'll be the happiest you'll ever imagine when you finally say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Father, please take the hearts and the lives of these young people. And may none of them be almost, but all of them be all together, such as Paul. Ready to serve. Ready to turn this world upside down. In Jesus' name, amen.